Hello and welcome to another episode of Baby Steps, the first steps to understanding the paradox of parenting. My name is Danielle Ochieng, an early childhood education specialist by passion and profession with a degree in the same. I'm currently an early years curriculum designer and consultant and have been working with children for over 10 years in different capacities as a teacher, counselor, guide, friend, confidant, mentor, actually everything. And this spans through all ages. I'm talking 0 to 18 plus years, but I focus on the early years and particularly 0 to 5 because it's the foundation of everything about children. And now, drum rolls! Did you know that National Handwriting Day is on the 23rd of January every year? There's actually a day for that. Well, it's not a holiday in any country, obviously, otherwise. Anyway, and also, did you know that the human hand consists of 29 bones, yet the fingers have no muscles? So you wonder, how do they function then? Well, they have tendons that are controlled by muscles in the palm and the forearm. And that takes us to our topic today. Kinesthetic learners. So I hope you've enjoyed walking this learning styles journey with me. And so, like I've said, we're on our final type of learner in the VARK, V-A-R-K model, which is a kinesthetic, the K part of it. They're also known as tactile learners. So kinesthetic simply means movement. So this type of learners are mainly physically active. But what does the typical classroom dictate? I mean, children have to be quiet, stop moving, concentrate, pay attention and listen. Many times without the allowance of wiggle space and time, leave alone the fact that they are required to maintain all these requirements and the lesson being taught is boring and unengaging. Now, kinesthetic learners require movement to learn. They crave for hands-on activities and you can severally spot them saying, "Can I try and do it? Please, can I have a turn?" That's the kind of learners, at least when they're younger, they've still not yet been forced into the model of what we expect them to be. So they're okay and very confident in asking. So that's what you hear them asking a lot. But they're often shut down and told that they can't keep wanting to do everything. And they're even criminalized for wanting to physically engage with materials. And the worst part of it is that many of them are mistakenly diagnosed with conditions such as attention deficit disorder, known as ADD, or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. I'm sure we've heard about these things. If not, I'll probably handle a topic. If you'd like to hear about it, just let me know. And the worst case scenario about such diagnosis is that some kids are put on pills when all they need is to be actively engaged in the learning process, and whether it's at home or at school. And trust me, these pills can knock out children. There's a time I was walking in a classroom of older students, yeah? And so this student who's like, looked zoned out, like they look like they've been, I can't even describe. They look like they've been spiked, like their drinks, they took a drink that had been spiked and they've been knocked out. Their eyes just looked like they're rolling, like they were just, it wasn't sleep. It was like they were not in that space. And only to find out that the student was on drugs for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Like, to date, that image still traumatizes me. Just to see how knocked out that student was. And it wasn't a good kind of knocked out. It was like they couldn't control themselves. And so it knocks them out through the better half of the morning, which means they miss the better half of learning. But anyway, I have moved on. Not for me to talk about right now. And so for this kind of learners, there are conditions that need to be handled. But for this kind of learners, what we need to do is understand that their strengths are different from the other kind of learners. Because the sooner that we accommodate them, the higher they will soar when it comes to the education. But also, this does not mean that we allow them to run wild, because they also need to learn to have moments to be still. So some notable characteristics about these learners, if your child is this, you'll see a quite a number of these characteristics in them, is that they move a lot. They like to touch people when they're talking to them. They tap their pencils or foot or whatever they're working with, especially when they're working on assignments or listening or something like that. They enjoy physical activities. They like to take frequent breaks when studying. They do not spend a lot of time reading because they're not readers. They're not, that's not their type of learning. They usually have difficulty spelling because unless like they practice writing it a lot, like because they have to use their hands. They also like to solve problems by physically working through them. They love to try new things. They are very well coordinated and agile. They're considered hyperactive. They express their feelings physically, such as through hugging, hitting, that kind of stuff. And they also move their hands a lot when talking. They enjoy touchy things and they experience difficulty sitting still for extended periods of time. Oh, and one more thing, they also tend to excel in sports and performing arts. So when it comes to tactile learners or the kinesthetic learners, it's important that whether you're a parent or a teacher, whatever capacity you're dealing with, such a child or teenager, or even adults, if you're train of adults, is give them opportunities to wiggle and move, whether it's at home or during lessons in school, because they learn deeply through their sense of touch. Anyway, they learn fastest when they do things as they learn, and this tends to stick in their memories most than any other forms of learners, like the previous three we discussed about. You'll also find that they're gifted in, like I mentioned, physical activities. They love games, they love sports, they love dance, they love acting, they love role playing, because it gives them the pleasure of mobility, movement. That's all they need to learn. And you'll also notice that they recall most information if they have learned it through building either a physical project or a model or through skits or games. Anything that involves movement, practicality, is how they learn best. So like when it's something like math, you know, give them manipulatives to work on, whether it's working with counters to add and subtract, whether it's Play-Doh, whether it's a geoboard, whatever thing that would get them moving their hands or moving their bodies, help them with that. And if it's in school, allow them to pace around the room, swing their legs, or even stand up during the teaching, as long as they're not disrupting the rest. And like for your learner, if your child is this kind of learner, and depending on the school, if this kind of movement is not allowed or this kind of engagement, try and help allow them to study through this kind of methods if you actually want them to succeed. Like they can't sit for long periods of time. Can I say them to sit and read for 3 hours? Let them take, depending on the age, if it's older children, students, like let them take frequent breaks, you know, 30 minutes of studying, let them move. Tell them they can do exercise, they can do sit-ups as they read, like anything that will get them moving. And sometimes they can actually get overwhelmed because their bodies and minds aren't moving as much as they would like them. So teach them some relaxation techniques, especially when it becomes too much. If they start feeling like they're getting overwhelmed by it, like just deeply breathing, take deep breaths, you know, hold your breath, count it, let it go, that kind of stuff. And then just give them manageable tasks. Don't overwhelm them, because their mind now starts to shut down when there's too much to think about, too much to read, too much to do. So just make everything manageable for them. Give them regular breaks. Like don't let them be confined into a sit, listen, don't move, don't talk, don't stop tapping, stop doing this, stop. Let them move. Let them move a little bit. Let them expend their energy. If it's little children and it's okay, I'm not talking about preschool years, like that's like 5, 6 and below, like the older kids, like grade 1 upwards. If they're doing their homework, and God forbid, I don't think homework should be more than 30 minutes. But God forbid their homework takes hours. I mean, I've had kids complain about how long their homework is. But God forbid that their homework takes hours. Let them do it for like 30 minutes and then tell them to go outside and run. Give them a slash if you have grass to slash grass. Like, let them move. They can even do somersaults in the house, you know, stretching, exercise, whatever it is. For a few minutes, put a timer, let them do those exercises. And then tell them now it's time to go back to work, because then now their body has been moving, so their mind is now activated and ready for the next task. So, as I said, there isn't much to most of these learners. I just wanted to give us a breakdown for us to understand where our students, if we're teaching, or where our children are, if we're parents and we're listening to this, to ensure that our kids are fully involved in the learning process. And just remember, no one size fits all. Learners are different, the same way you prefer learning in a certain way. And as adults, you know, we have the freedom of being able to move. You can be listening to a lecture and you decide, okay, I'm going to draw whatever is being told, or is being said. I can walk out and walk back into the classroom. You know, I can record what is being said and listen later. But children don't have this freedom of just moving. So if we don't provide those opportunities, we frustrate our children, we frustrate our students. And that's not how we want them to view learning or education in general. And as we sum it all up, they're probably like what Paul in the Bible describes as doers of the word and not just hearers. Like, if you get it, it's hilarious. You know, let me not laugh. No, it's actually very funny in my head, but yeah, anyway, so that's the end of our journey on learning styles. If you have any questions, clarifications, topic suggestions, please reach out to me on parentingbabysteps@gmail.com. parentingbabysteps is one word @gmail.com. Love to hear from you, yeah, with anything you want, any questions. If you want to feature on the show, just let me know, which is something we'll be incorporating. So I'll see you on the 4th week of March, and actually my apologies for posting this late. I should have posted it yesterday. Have a blessed remaining week ahead, and goodbye.